Okay, so we are up to Perek Perek Gimel. We did yesterday a few psukim together. We just began to learn the Rashi's. I think we went to the Rashi's. Let's see what we did. Page 476. Okay, 476. Pasuk Vav. Okay, so we're up to the. We started Pasuk Vav, Zayin, and Ches. Three psukim together. I'll read the psukim again very quickly. Lechem diefor lailo lechem micha zayin. It's going to be dark. Hashem here is addressing, Micha is addressing the Nevi'ah Sheker. There's going to be darkness. There's going to be darkness to you, Mecha Zoyin, from your ability to give to see. V'choshcha lochem mikesoyim. It'll be dark to you from having the ability to divine. Uvoha Hashem eshal ha-Nevi'im. The sun will set. V'kodar alem hayom. And the day will get dark. Four different expressions. Four different examples of it getting dark. Pasuk Zayin, Uvoyishu ha-Choyzim. The Choyzim will be put to shame. V'chofru ha-Choyzim. The divine is another expression. Two different expressions, which means shame. V'yatu al-Safam kulam. They'll all drape their heads with a garment until their mustache. Ki ein ma'anei Elokim. Why will this happen? Why will they be put to shame? Because it will be revealed to the world that they were liars. That they had no message from Hashem. The word ma'anei means a response. Okay, and it's interesting. Okay, we'll have to discuss that. But ma'anei over here means they had nothing to say from Hashem. Everything that came out of their mouth was a fabrication. It was a total lie. Hashem comes, the ma'anei, the expression of speech. The word ma'anei, it's a very hard word because ma'anei, I think you would assume means a response. It's not, when a person speaks, sometimes you speak first, and sometimes you respond. So I'm under the impression, we have to see clearly, but I'm under the impression that ma'anei means a response. You're not the first one to speak. You're the second one to speak. But not necessarily. We have to see that. But in any event over here, in the simple understanding of the possibility, it is revealed to the world that these prophets, these people, do not have any message from Hashem. They were liars all along, and that is why they are going to be put to shame. V'ulam, now Micha speaks about himself, and he says, I am not like them. However, Anochi Malesi Choyach, I am filled with spirit, the power, Esruach Hashem, the power of the spirit of Hashem, Mishpat Ugvura, and likewise I am filled with Mishpat and Gvura, Lahagil Yaakov Pisho, to reveal to Yaakov their sin, Uli Yisrael Chatasai, their transgression. Okay, there's a lot to discuss. We learned yesterday the Mitzudos. We began to learn the Rashi. Let's read the Rashi's again, starting with Pasuk Vav. Okay, Pasuk Vav and Zayin on page 478. Laila lechem echazayin v'choshcha lechem mikesayim lefi she'atem semchim al chazus ha'koy chavim v'hamazolois. Being that you, false prophets, rely upon the vision of the stars and the mazolois, she'atem chazim v'koysmim bohem, ani achshich ha'me'orois, I will darken the visions, the lights, v'eroiv ha'mazolois. Eroiv, now the word Eroiv here means, I guess, Erev, right? What?
To mix up.
To mix up, okay, it could be. Okay, Erev, Oroiv, I guess, Erev, to mix up, very good, the Mazolos. And therefore, you're not going to have what to say. Uvoish rachoizim v'chofru ha-koismim, mani alukim, okay, so mani alukim means nokud komots. It says here, a komots. Now, we don't have a komots. And that's why I look over here in this very, very, this is very confusing. Rashi's terminology consistently throughout Tanakh is not the terminology that we are familiar with. The vowels, what Rashi calls certain vowels, it's not the way we refer to them today in the modern world. And here's a good example. Mane is nokud komots. So over here in the Sifsei Zichenevi writes, Mane Rashi kore litzerei komots koton. There is a komots godol, komots koton, and you have to know the terminology. So here underneath the nun is a tserei, two dots, horizontally. That is what Rashi calls a komotz. That's a different terminology. Komotz katan lifi shu dovuk el hashem. Smichus, being ma'ane elokim, if it would be an independent expression, it would say ma'ano or ma'ane. Lashon zohar, lashon nekeva, lashon zohar would be ma'ane, and nekeva ma'ano. It depends on who is the subject. But being that this is not an independent clause, it is somuch to elokim, that changes the komatz or the segel, what we call a komatz or a segel, to a tsere. And in Rashi's terminology, a tsere is called a komatz koton. And Rashi here is being mekatzer, okay, komatz koton, and he's being mekatzer, pun intended. And he's just calling it a komatz, not a komatz, instead of a komatz koton, according to his own terminology. Oh, let's see, Micha Shai, very good. Mane. The Sif say, oh, I'm sorry? Uvinifrodi besegol be mane. Mane. Kimelukim mane loshoin. Mane, when the word is not somuch, when it's not attached to another word, it's an independent word, then the pronunciation is mane. That's masculine.
Yeah, so mane would be a noun.
Okay.
A name would be the possessive.
Okay, the possessive. It's attached. It's attached to a subject. Correct. So when it's going to be kimei elokim, so they also look at kimei elokim ma'aneh. Is that what it says? Kimei elokim ma'aneh loshoin. Is that what it says? Ma'aneh loshoin. From Hashem comes the ma'aneh, comes the ability to speak loshoin, that is connected to a person's tongue. In this physical world, Hashem allowed the man to speak through using his tongue. He said, yes, a person comes to someone in a dream and has a conversation with him. Where is the sound coming from? A neshama does not have a tongue. Okay, the whole thing doesn't make it. How do you see? All of these things that we are familiar with in this world is because we are physical creatures. In the Olam HaEmes, there's no tongue, there are no eyes, there's no nose. So how do all of these principles, how do they exist in the other world? And when someone from the other world comes to visit us in this world, how are we able to communicate? How do you hear stories, people have conversations with people who have left this world? But people who left this world don't have a tongue. So what exactly does it mean you heard him say, he told you, he spoke to you? How does all of that work? We don't know what this thing means. Yeah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to a prophet. Hashem gives over a message. What does that mean exactly? Hashem is not a physical being. Hashem does not have a tongue. There are no vocal cords. So what does that mean exactly? Yet the way it's consistently described throughout Chazal is Hashem is speaking. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. Hashem does not have vocal cords. Hashem does not have a tongue. Hashem does not have lungs to produce air, right, to make the sound. So what in the world does it mean, Vayidaber Hashem?
Well,
it cannot...
What?
Right.
His communication system.
So we don't know what this means. We don't know what this means.
Right. Or is it like ESP? You know?
What does it mean exactly?
Yeah.
It's sad. Look, we know Chazal tell us that when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu,
yes,
in whose voice? In the voice of his father Amram. Okay, in this generation we could appreciate that because you go into a car, a GPS, who's speaking? Who's speaking to you? You have reached your destination. Is it the sound of a man or woman? And today you can download, there are many celebrities.
Right.
Many celebrities have been paid nice money to dictate every possible syllable, every possible, you know, all the popular sounds, and you can hear Bill Clinton guide you to your destination. Or you can hear they have jokes, they have Hasidish, Jackie Mason, they have in Yiddish, like one of the Bat Chonim, he did it, you can do it yourself, you go online, they give you the whole vocabulary. You have to read a script, you do a script, one thing at a time, and people make jokes, like instead of saying, make a left, they'll have, I don't know, these very funny expressions. It became a comedy to go in a car with someone and you use a GPS and it's comical, the voice who's speaking and the expressions, the person, the voice says to refer to a left, to refer to a right. It's very, very, very funny what you can do, and it's done, and people pay good money for this as well. So that's something that we can relate to today, and it makes it very easy for us to relate that when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal tell us, in whose voice? Whose voice? The voice of his father, Amram. When Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, he heard his father speaking to him, his father, Amram. Now, obviously, what does that Chazal show to us? What does that show to us? It shows that it's not just like Yisrael Mechol, it's just like a communication of some type of a message transferred into your head. I got the message. I got the message. Moshe didn't just hear the message. There was an inflection. There was volume. There was gain. There was echo. There was pitch.
It's a physical sound.
It was a sound. Because if Chazal are telling us that the sound was the sound of Amram, that means that Ribbono Shel Olam made himself to a degree physical when he communicated.
It has to be some sort of actual language.
By Har Sinai. Right. It says that Hashem came down, Hashem spoke to cloud, the whole Klal Yisrael. But what does that possibly mean? The Ribbono Shel Olam does not have a tongue.
An Egyptian.
What?
And
oh.
Said to be Egyptian first.
They were familiar with the Egyptian accent. So I mean, Hashem spoke to Claudia. I don't remember clear, but you're suggesting that when Hashem spoke to Claudia Yisrael Yaseres Hadibros, his accent was an Egyptian accent.
Using an Egyptian term for
Anochi is an Egyptian term, but does it mean also that his accent?
Is Anochi the Egyptian term?
Yes.
No, that's what it says.
That's what it says. Anochi, why Anochi, not Ani? It's a whole discussion. But there is that in order that we should be receptive, if Jews have been living in Egypt for the 210 years, you know, if Hashem gave us the Torah in Brooklyn, Hashem would speak to us with a Brooklyn accent.
Ah,
very good.
We don't understand in what level. Uncle Lucia says he says Pashut. Late behon ruach levua min kadam Hashem. He doesn't say talking about something.
A ruach of nevua.
Whatever it is, we don't know what.
We don't know what it is. We really don't know. Yeah, really, we have no clue.
He's not taking a guess.
The level of Hashem is
beyond
our level.
Beyond. It's infinite.
So,
yes, but at some point it has to.
Right. Chazal do say it was the voice of Amram. That's a very heavy statement. Okay, you hear that as a child, they tell you that, okay, very nice. But when you become, you appreciate, like you're saying, what Nevuah is, and you realize how moved up, how much of a nothing man is, Keneged Hashem, then that, what you remember as a child, has so much more significance, because it's almost contradictory. How could there be such a thing to say that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the voice of Amram? When it says that Hashem gave the Torah, it was suggesting that Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael with an Egyptian accent, because that's what we were familiar with, and we would be more receptive to understand the Torah.
In each of these cases, it's the very first time that Hashem spoke to them, and therefore, to put them more at ease, otherwise they'd be frightened to death, hearing the voice of Hashem, whatever that is. So he approaches them first so they can adjust to hearing him. He uses a familiar voice to ease them into it, and then goes on from there.
Okay, let's go further in Rashi.
Because, by the way, the reason it has to differentiate between a tzeirei and a segol was a lot of times in the Torah, most of the time, it's only the difference in the truck. Like lo sigale, it's just whether it's an estafa
right.
Or a makam pashto. So you shouldn't think it's the same word, just Because most of the time, segol and seyre doesn't change any.
The meaning, any but if,
based on the trauma.
If it's not the end of a clause, then it's usually not a seyre.
So he wants to tell you that there is a difference.
If it's not the end of a clause, if it's not an etznacht or seif pasuk, it's not a tamamavsik, so then it's usually going to be the indication is that it's samuch, it's connected to the next word or the word before, and then it's going to be a tsere, two dots, horizontally. But if it's the end of a clause, a tamavsik, then it's going to be either if it's the subject is a male, it's a segol. If the subject is a female, it's a komatz. Okay, let's now, and nusach acher in the last and the Rashi in the brackets moisif kan v'loy lehalon. Now, what does it mean over here in these brackets? Moisif kan v'loy lehalon dalig. We have to keep this in mind. Later on, he's going to say something very similar. We just jump ahead to dalid. Perek Dalit Pasik Gimel. Okay, it's not so far ahead. The Shofar Bein Ramim Rabim Hachich Lugayim Atzimim Ad Rachoik. The Kisisu Charvoy Sehem Leitim. This is the famous Pasik. Vachaniso Sehem Lemaz Meroyz. Lo Yisu Goy El Goy Chedev Lo Yildu Ad Milchama. And Rashi there says, Echon Diber V'nasati Shalom Ba'aretz. I'm not sure what he means. I really do not know what in the world he's trying to say over here. Nusach acher moisif kan v'loy lahalon dalad gimel. I really don't know what this means. Okay, so we'll leave it for now. Okay, we'll leave that for now. Any event, now this says something. This, now let's just go back for one moment. Okay, I saw the Mamloris really elaborates upon this. Maybe we'll see this more from a far shorter here in more detail. And that is, we're dealing over here with these false prophets. We discussed 2 days ago and a little bit yesterday. Do the false prophets, do they have power? Okay, that's not our discussion. But the false prophets, it would appear, they do have a technique that they're using which works. It may be an Isser de Oraisa to be a koisem. It may be something which is a choizebak chavim. It may be not necessarily de Oraisa, but it may be something. There is without question out there in this world. Powers to look into the future. We know that. Maybe not today. Today you don't hear about people who have this talent. Because if you did, you will be running there to buy lottery tickets. But there are in time of Chazal, it's clear as day. There are koichos. There are things that people, experts, they chochmos, wisdoms that they knew how to look into. To do things that the average man could not do. And that involved looking into the stars. That involved reading your palm. There are people today that do that. People today, there's a lot of chokhmah, reading the palm, all things on your hand. They're fascinating things. You can buy books, go on Amazon, you can buy books, how to be a palm reader. And a lot of the stuff it says there, it's true. There is tremendous chokhmah. The chokhmah ba'am tam is not so simple. The various lines on your hand. You fold your hand just slightly. Look at all those funny lines. What do all those lines mean? What? Amen. I take it as a bracha. I take it as a bracha, yes. Amen. Thank you. And by everyone, your grandchildren, by everyone who needs. By everyone who needs. Okay, there is a lot of chokhmah. There is a lot of chokhmah. If you go on Amazon, you buy a book, believe there's a lot of MS. In what it says in some of those books. I heard this from Big Talmidei Chachamim. Don't just brush it aside. Today, we don't fully comprehend the depth, and therefore we stay away because there is chokhmah and there is truth, but you got to know it all. If you don't know it 100%...
You make up what you don't know.
Exactly, you make what you don't know. Like me, right? I also make what I don't know. You make it up as you go along. Okay, wait, hear me out. So these people, they had talent, but their talent was based upon looking into the stars, looking at the moon, looking into the ground. The Pasuk here says, it's very simple, what Rashi says, but the Mamloris, he brings it out in very, very, very much more detail, is that these people, they have what to offer. they pass off what they know about the future and secrets about people through making believe they're prophets, that their source of knowledge comes from Hashem. The truth is, it doesn't come from Hashem. They faked you out, but they did. You cannot deny that they revealed secrets that no one in the world could possibly know. How then did they get those results? The answer is they looked into the stars. They looked at the moon. They're able to see the way the moon is positioned. It's glowing. There's a lot of chokhmah out there. If there's a solar eclipse, if there's a lunar eclipse, if the stars, for some whatever reason, are not shining, it's a cloudy day, and you go to this charlatan and you say, I need to make a decision. Should I sell my stocks or not? What should I do? And it's a cloudy day, so this fellow doesn't have what to say because his source of information is shut down. But if you go to a Navi is not... His source of information is divine. It does not depend on nature. It does not depend on if it's cloudy, if the stars are not shining. These things don't make a difference. So the test to determine if a person is the real deal or not is when you put him in a dark room and he can't look into the stars. You can't look at the moon. You can't look at the ground. The Kosei needs to communicate with the ground. He needs to put a bone in his body, a bone in his teeth, and put his foot into the ground. If you put him in a room and there are no windows, and you put him right next to him a Navi MS, the Navi MS is not dependent on anything. It's pure. He'll be able to tell you all of the secrets. But the Navi Sheker, who is telling you the same thing as the Navi MS in this particular instance, being that his source of communication is not, his sources have been shut down, the Wi-Fi is not in operation today. Okay, there's no Wi-Fi today, there's no satellites today. He has nothing what to say. He is put to shame. So it's exactly what it is over here. Over here in these Pesukim will be a Pasuk Zayin, a Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zayin. It says the proof that these people are phonies is just put them in a dark room. Yeah. Remove them from contacting the earth, from looking at the stars, from looking at the moon, and you will discover that these people have nothing to offer. A Navi MS, when you shut him out, when you put him in the same dark room, will give over the same information because it's divine. That's what the
it says this in the case. The Saramashki tells Paro, Nar Evid Ivri. So there's no way you could explain that he has experience because he's a Nar. And maybe he's part of society. No, he was an Evid, so he didn't live among us. And maybe he just knows Egyptian culture. No, he's a Jew.
He knows nothing.
So he's like,
they're excellent, fantastic.
Closed,
three words.
In jail.
Right. He's the real deal.
And that's how he goes on to explain what was the godless of the words that he used, what was how he was impressing Paro, that Yosef, there's no way he could have known from normal circumstances other than being a Navi.
Fantastic. Nar, Eved, Ivri. Three words, each one.
Yeah.
He's no life experience. He's a slave. He's
and
never.
He's not one of us.
And he's not part of our culture.
Shami Tonu, down there.
And he's also in the dungeon. He doesn't have access to the stars. He was also in a dungeon, Vishami Tanu, in a dungeon. He couldn't look into the stars.
He's in a dark. I mean, he's been living there for years. And so
he can't see the stars. It could be that's why they put people in dungeons. It could be in ancient times. Maybe that's why they put people in dungeons, because when you're in a dungeon, you don't have access to the stars. In those days, it was a big deal. You look at the stars, you know, it's like watching CNN. You look in the stars, you know what's going on in the whole world.
I don't know, when I saw quickly this week's Parsha, Navi Sheker is just defined as somebody who gets to worship idols.
There are many different forms. There are many different forms of a Navi Sheker. The Navi Sheker in this week's Parsha is he's trying to incite you to do Avodah Zarah, correct? Here in the Navi Sheker is Also, he's telling the people doing Avodah Zarah, that's part of the problem. He's telling them not to do teshuva, everything is fine, just give me money. It all comes down, we see them more and more, all comes down to money. In any event, you have to appreciate the pasuk. Rashi really says this, but Rashi is very makatsu. You have to have other person bring out what Rashi means to say is, we are focusing here on the stars, upon the earth. All the various things are things that Hashem is shutting down. The Laila is Laila Chamecha Zayin. It's dark. If it's dark, you're not going to be able to see the stars. The Choshlam Yikoysim, again, and I don't know all the details, but these are all different things that these individuals need to produce results. And when these things are not in operation, then they can't say anything. But Michal goes on to say, I'm not like them. I don't need to come on to the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, in order to produce results. I'm the real deal. I have access just no matter where I am, because I am a real Navi. V'ulam. I'm not dependent upon these physical objects to produce results. Okay, that's really... Yeah.
I can shut his mouth and I can open his mouth.
Hashem, right. Means it's, so he's not dependent on anything else. Even that. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The source comes directly from the source. The message comes directly from the source. Let's see the Radak. Radak elaborates upon this idea, going back to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav l'chaim laila, laila l'chaim ichazan, mizeh ha'chazan sh'atem misnabim laila. Va'afei la'yia l'chaim kishuyavah ha'oyev. So he's not learning like this. He's not learning like Rashi. He's learning over here is that it's going to be there's going to be a great tsara. The Laila is a metaphor for Churban. This vision that you are misnabin, it's not the way you predict. It's going to be pretty and beautiful. It's going to be Laila va'feila yelachem kishiyaveh ha'ayim. It's going to be dark when the enemy comes. V'yibochanu divrechem. It will then be proven that you're a liar. You were predicting everything is going to be pleasant. You are predicting that there's going to be peace. Ki sheker itchem. And the pasuk elaborates poetic repetition. V'chofal ho'inyin b'mila shonis v'amar. V'choshcho l'chem yikoysem ki nivu asam nivu as kesem hoysa. Their nivu was nivu of falsehood. Ay miktsasam hayu koysem. Some of them actually would go and divine, whatever this technique was, to go and put a bone into your elbow, into your mouth. I don't know what this means. What? Oy, you done your armpit. Umiktsasam how you call them? They would dream. They were techniques. These are real techniques that work. You gotta know how. And but the point is, they're not with a koyach of kedusha. They're with a koyach of tuma. Mikisoyim. The word next page radaka next thing. Mikisoyim is makar is a noun. Okay, the word makar, if I'm not mistaken, means this is a noun. Okay, kesem. Kesem is a form. It's a noun. Uvaha hashemesh meroiv hatzara shetimtzoim. The sun will set. It seems that he's saying it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor that you're going to have. It's going to be dark for you. Hayoyim ratzolaymar or hashemesh kibayoyim meroiv v'lochem yikdar meroiv hatzara. By day, normally you can see, but for these people, it's going to be dark. V'yonis antirgim hayoyim idona means the times. Does not mean necessarily in this instance, it does not mean the day. It means the kodar alehem hayoim, the times will be dark. Dark times. Doesn't mean a day, it means a year, a season, a tekufa. Those were dark times. The Holocaust were dark times. 6 years. Holocaust was 6 years, that's what it was, pretty much. 6 years. The hardest point of the war was 6 years. The Holocaust. All of that is called an idon. It's called a tekufa, and that is how the Targum translates the word hayoyim. Hayoyim does not always mean a 24-hour period. Does not. Sometimes it does. It means a 24-hour period. Sometimes it's 12 hours. And sometimes the word hayoyim refers to the sun. The sun. The word hayoyim is a metaphor for the sun because the sun is what gives light during the day. Yet over here, the Targum wants to translate, it means the times, a tekufa, a period of time.
I mean, Ayom HaShem Barolokim El-Oretz. I mean, it doesn't mean the day, it means
the tekufa, that time period. Zion, Uboishu, V'otu al safam, they will drape a garment over their mouth until their mustache. Kishayu ka'avelim, they will be like mourners. Okay, oitim al safam, kishayiru shlotiskayim nivuasam, yivoshu v'yu ka'avelim, and the prophets, these false prophets, will be mourners. Why? Because they're going to lose their parnasa. They're not going to have what to eat, and there's no welfare or government programs to go on. And when they're discredited, can you imagine what it was like? A person lost parnasa. What are you going to do? There's no unemployment. There's no social programs, food stamps, and a pension fund you can rely upon. You got nothing. And if you're discredited and you're put to shame, no one's going to give you work. So what are you going to do? You pack up your bags, you go to another town where they don't know who you are. And you try to hope that maybe there, you know, you can start your life all over again. And the advantage is there's no internet, so they can't Google you and discover what you are. You're able to make believe you start your life all over again. People do identity. Some people are so ruined by the internet because of their crimes for good reason, and they want to make a new life for themselves. Today, you have to have a new name. You have to change your name. Not so simple.
Or even victims of that.
Victims of crime. They put the shame. They've been a victim of some type of horrible crime.
People have been bullied.
So people today, more so than ever, you have no choice but to go and file to have a name change, in the secular name change, so you can start a new life all over again. Further, the havelim oitim al safam. This is the custom. In Ovel, he drapes a garment on their mustache. Kemosh amar hakel yicheskel v'loy sate al safam. A very good proof. Yicheskel was a mourner. His wife, he was an avelus. And Hashem said, even though you're going to be an avelus, I do not want you to conduct yourself with the common method, the common conduct of a mourner. V'loy sate al safam. Ki ein mane elokim, ki yedu v'yakiru, ki yiru, ki yakiru ha'am, ki ma shahayu oimim lochem lo hoya davar. They put to shame, dvar elokim. It'll be put to shame. It's going to be well known that they were liars. Hashem never spoke to them. Mane kmo dvar. He translates the word mane, the word. V'chein v'Hashem onohu. Hashem spoke to him. Me ono Hashem. What did Hashem say? If you look in the Mitzvah Siyon. The Mitzvah Siyon mane inyon amira. V'chein umei mane lashoin. Okay, so he says amira. Is there a difference between the Mitzvah Sion's translation and the Radak? Not really, but they don't say the same thing. The Mitzvah Sion says it's an amira, and he says it is a dibur. Okay, mane is devar. Sho'inim. Oh, very good. Sho'inim. So does that mean over there? Sho'inim means that you answer lechem oinim sho'inim alav dvarim harbe. You answer, so it means you speak. Amira, saperis, and amira, a dibur. Okay, two different words which luchayra mean the same thing, but nothing means the same thing. But interesting, we have two different words. Further, okay, pasuk ches in the next one. Ulam anochi amar navi v'yemes eineni kumayham she'ein lohem ane elokim. I am not like the false prophets. Micha says, avol. The truth is, anochi molesi choyach esruach Hashem. Ani mole muruach Hashem. Mikoyach mishpat ugvura, the koyach of justice, strength, lehagid lohem pishayhem, to reveal their sins. V'lo ira mehem, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid that if I'm going to reveal your sins, you're going to kill me. K'moy sh'oisim nivyei ha-sheker she'machnifim lohem, like the false prophets. Why are they flattering their customers? They're afraid. If they do not flatter them, then they're going to cut them out. They're not going to pay them. Worse, they'll kill them. They'll have them eliminated. Umeshabchem lohem, they praise their maaseim horoyim v'divrei maasheker. I will divrei emes umishpat. I, Micha, I'm not afraid of you. I will say two words of emes umishpat. I will divrei mishpat of emes. Fine. Let's see the Malbum. Pasik. Malbum goes back. Pasik. Go to the previous page. Page 477. Lachein laila lachem mechazel b'bnei shahoy b'neim shloisha minim. Okay, now he's coming to get into the nitty gritty. I told you there were four categories. I made a mistake. Or the Malbim certainly doesn't say this. The Malbim says there are three categories here. There are Choizim, Choismim, and Nevi'im. Now, of course, it means Nevi'i Sheker. Omar Neged HaChoizim. What are the Choizim? They are the stargazers. They look into the stars to see the future, to see, to produce results. Shaderech HaMachazeh Lavoi Balayla. When does the vision come at night? Loy yavoy hachazoyne alidei halayla, rak yavoy lechem layla alidei hechazon. This is poetic. A seer, he's explaining over here why Micha is repeating himself. He's saying there are three categories. There is a choize, a koisem, and a navi. Now this, of course, means a false choize. A koisem, by definition, is a person that's doing something which is forbidden, and there are navi sheker. A choizeh, why were they called a choizeh? Because they would give over their revelation at night. That's, I guess, because they look into the stars at night. So therefore, he's being poetic, that instead of lo yovoy hechazoin alidei halayla, you would eagerly wait until it gets dark, so you can then read the stars. It's not going to be that way. Lo yovoy hechazoin ali de halayla, rak yovoy lochem layla ali de hechazoin. Because of your words, your false words, darkness will descend upon you. Normally, you are taking from the darkness a vision. It's night, and now from the night, I take a chazoin. Your punishment will be just the opposite. Because of your chazoin, darkness will come upon you. Instead of...
Just you or everybody?
No, just the choize. The choize, the false choize. The false choize is being put to shame. Now, the point over here is not the people. When gloom and doom come upon the people, and when the choize predicted everything is going to be wonderful... Everyone now is going to be furious at the choize that you lied to us, you misled us. And when he's exposed, they banish him, and darkness comes upon him because of his chazoin. Rak yovoy lochem laila, it will come to you darkness, al yidei hechazoin. Ordinarily, when it's laila, you're able to extract a vision. Now it's going to be the opposite. Because of your vision, your words, your vision, from that will come forth darkness to you because you've been exposed as a liar. Next. So here he's teaching us a secret that we don't necessarily know from Chumash. To do kesem, to divine, whatever this means, you do it in a dark room.
Or undercover of darkness?
Whatever it is.
Well, they refer to the occult as the dark arts.
Aha, interesting.
Would be the dark web.
The dark, okay, very fasting. That's what the technique was. We're not familiar how this works, but they had to go into a place of darkness in order to engage in this activity to produce results. You're not going to be able to extract from the darkness your message, just the opposite. Because we have on record what you have produced through Kesem, that will now result in you being subject to being put in darkness. Rak techshach lochem, it will be dark for you, you will be banished, al yidei ha-kesem. Number three, v'neged nevi'ei ha-sheker, sheim hayu menabim bayoyim, they, with the Navi, the prophets, interesting, in contrast to the choizim, in contrast to the Kosmim, the Navi would give over a message by day. I guess you have to have, 24/7. You have to have all different times of the day. You have to have a communication.
But
so the
Navi never used omens like stars or.
No, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. That's a simon. Those are simonim, but that's
well,
not.
In other words, it says that God, how did he cause the flood? He moved, I think
it was an Ursa Major. That's the flood. But we're talking about a vision.
It tells us that the stars do control a lot of things, so maybe they had that power to read it. It tells us.
But it's saying a prophet.
Control.
But a prophet does not use anything physical.
Right.
A prophet is pure divine communication.
Right. He closes his eyes
yes.
and he's thinking.
To receive the message, but the message could be to involve symbols.
Okay, those are symbols.
Yeah.
If you want to go and express your message using symbols, that's a different story. Tavoy Hashemesh al Hanavim Moisiv Shaloi Levatcha Tavoy Kigam Yikdar Alevayam. So the Malbum says something very interesting. The Malbum over here says the last two. When we used to learn the pasuk originally, we said there are four different things mentioned over here. He acknowledges there are four things here. However, he groups together three and four. Three and four are describing, are discussing the false prophets. Moisiv Shaloi Levatcha Tavoy, not only will the sun set, even when it's daytime hours and the sun is shining, something supernatural will happen. In the heavens, now he's saying this is a metaphor. When it says "Uva Hashemesh al Hanaviim," okay, "V'kodar aleim hayom," is that prematurely. Al derech hateva, these individuals were meant to live longer, were meant to be successful for a period of time. But because of their sins, prematurely, when the sun is still setting, when the sun should be, when the sun is still shining, when the sun should still be shining, it's going to prematurely set. And if it does not prematurely set, if it's just still in the sky, it is not going to produce light. Which is an indication, it's a metaphor that these false prophets, their end will come prematurely. According to the rules of nature, they should have more time, or they should be successful, but just like the sun will set prematurely, or the sun, even if it's in the sky, is not going to produce light, what is natural and what is expected for these people will not come to be. Okay, Zayin, Uvayishu. Dark, kedar, kadar, dark. Phonetically, there's a similarity. It's true. There's a lot of books on this. A lot of books to trace the etymology of Latin. Latin. Most of English is Latin. So where does Latin come from? It comes from Hebrew. Okay, I have a cousin who wrote a book on this called Word. He wrote a big book on this. He showed many very fascinating things. All different expressions. Different words, you can trace the etymology of Latin to Hebrew. Zayin uvoishu, v'yaydekach givoshu achayzim v'yachbu hakoysvim v'shechafira gidoyla yoysa mibusha. The Malm is teaching that there are two words, it's busha and chafira, cherpa. Chafira is greater than busha. V'hanevim hamadabrim b'nifsif asayim, those that speak, yatu al safam ke'avel ho'ite pivr shloydaber. V'yatam l'chol zeh, why? Ki ein ma'anei Elohim, shekol ma'a shechazu v'kosmu v'nibu, lo hoya al yedei ma'anei Elohim, it was not through a divine communication, rak sheker, it was false, v'samris libam, it was the corruption of their heart. Ches v'ulam anochi, ein eni k'nivya sheker ela, I'm not like these false prophets, hey, ein b'fiyah ma'anei Elohim. But v'yanochi, I micha molesi choya chesruach Hashem, ha'doiver bi, loikesem kozov v'chazoyin shavheim, yikachu milchama ala shaloitin al p'yem. I'm not like them who predicts harm to people that do not give me food. V'yanochi molesi mishpat l'daber k'fiyah din v'emes. When I speak with truth. Ugivura bal ira mishamad, I'm not afraid of anyone. Hey, masime es ami vanochi molesi koch lagid liyakoi pishoy. Okay, very straightforward. Let's look over here. Okay, that's pretty much. I think we did all the mamare chazal, and there is no chida. Okay, so let's now go to Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes. Shemuna Zois Rosh Beis Yaakov. Okay, now he goes further to give more Musar. Listen now. When I Zois, the following message, Rosh Beis Yaakov, the leaders. Ukitzinei Beis Yisrael. The word Kotzin is also a word which means the same thing, means a leader. If you look in the Mitzudos Tzion, okay, no, he doesn't translate the word over here in the Mitzudos Tzion, but the Mitzudos David. In the Mitzudos David, he doesn't say anything either. Okay, listen now. The leaders, two words, which mean leaders. The Rashi, we've seen them. They say Hamas, Shultainim. Okay, the rulers. The rulers. Ham Sa'avim Mishpat. To'ev. We had this before. Those who detest. The word to'ev connotes emotion. It's not just that. I'm not interested. You detest justice. The ace call Hayishara Yeakeshu. You twist and turn everything which is Yashar. Elokim Asa Es Adam Yashar Vehem Bikshu Chishbonois Rabois. Yaakeshu, you take what's Yashar straight and you twist it. You make it crooked. What else do you do? Let's go to Pasuk Yud. Boinei Tzion Bidamim. Now, this is very interesting. First of all, what is Tzion? We're going to discuss this in a few moments. What exactly is Tzion? Matina, you mean simply Yerushalayim? That it's built Bidamim with blood. All of your theaters, all of Yerushalayim be'avla, Yerushalayim is built be'avla with corruption. Avla is wrong. Doing this word, it's very similar to Bidamim means blood. You rob and you steal from people. You spill their blood. You steal their money, and you use their money to build buildings. And Yerushalayim has been established to avla through corruption. Okay, let's read another pasuk. Rasheha b'shoychad yishpaitu. There's only one way you get your verdict is issued. It's who pays more. You go to court. Whichever side pays the judge more money under the table will be the one who wins. The priests, the teachers, when you ask them a shaila, is it kosher or not kosher? It all depends on how much money you pay. The false prophets, to money they divine. And then in society, everything is fine and good. You rely upon Hashem. Haloi Hashem bikirbeinu, loy savoy, aleinu ra'ah, evil not come upon us. Okay, or a horrible, horrible description of society. You're hypocrites. You live double lives. In society, everything is wonderful. You walk in the streets, you see so many chesed organizations. You open up the newspaper, everything looks so fine and proper. There's so much chesed. But deep down inside, it is thorough corruption.
And that's not what's being described here.
No. It says here, V'al Hashem Yisho'enu Leymar, upon Hashem we rely. What does that mean? You open up the paper and it says, B'siyata d'shmaya boruch haba b'shem Hashem tzadik bo le'ir. What?
It means that there's an absence of those good institutions because they're despised.
No. What do you mean despised? It says here,
they've perverted all the values, the good values, and now everything is
but they make believe, that they're religious. You have a court. You go to a court, and the court has a big mezuzah on the front door, and the dayanim come in big hats and big long beards, and we daven a long shmoneh esrei, long before we daven. Oh, we have to have a mincha first, and everything is very religious. And then the litigants sit down and they tell the judges the issue, the situation, and they listen very carefully. And they open up the Gemaras and they discuss it, and then they say, okay, tomorrow we'll come back and we'll think about it overnight, we'll give you a decision. And then at 8 o'clock at night, the judge's wife gets a call. My husband, he gave your husband $100,000 for one of his projects, and If things don't go well tomorrow, I don't know if you can expect another $100,000 for the project, for the next phase of his project. So the judge hears this, and the next day, what does he decide? He says Shulchan Aruch, and he twists and he corrupts the Shulchan Aruch to make it come out in favor of the person that just gave him a $100,000 bribe. But you wouldn't know that, because everything looks so fine and proper and so religious. And 5 minutes later, he puts on the big hat and he davens a long shemoneh esrei for mincha. I mean, do I have to elaborate? That's what the pasuk is saying. V'al Hashem yisho'enu lemar. We rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why then did you steal from the government millions of dollars? Right? You have an institution that teaches Torah. And what do they teach? They teach Torah. What is Torah all about? V'al Hashem yisho'enu lemar. And where did the money come to build the building? It came from people who are ganovim. People gave, people who paid for the building stole money from the government or stole money from other people to donate millions of dollars to build the building. Who's paying the tuition? You have to elaborate. I can show you cases right and left, things like this. V'al Hashem yisho'enu lemar, they rely. Haloi Hashem b'kirbeinu lo yisavu leinu ra'ah. Yet, when you go and you study what's going on in the office, Rosheha b'shoichad yishpaitu, v'choyaneha b'mechir yoyru, u'nivyeha b'kesef yiksoimu. This is the worst. If you want to be corrupt, so acknowledge that you're corrupt. Don't go say, V'al Hashem yisho'enu lemar. This is the worst type of hypocrisy.
Two-faced.
You live a double life. You make believe everything is religion, and under the hood, it's corrupt. This is what Micha. Do we, I have to go right another time. This is what Micha is saying. Yes. Shemesh, Nivyeh Sheker. Nivyeh, I said that. Nivyeh is Navi Sheker. Okay? The Choyaneha, you have it many, many times. We have the same exact words being used both ways. The Choyaneha means the priests, which really mean the teachers. The teachers, the people who issue halachic decisions. They Yoyra means they decide. Yoyra. They issue a halachic decision, and the halachic decision can go either way, and it's undetectable, and it's all based upon money. Whoever has more influence through money, he will be able to tilt the decision in his favor.
I'm not going to destroy this.
Well, that's exactly what he says. That's exactly what this pasuk over here says, clear as day. Okay, let's see pasuk test. Pasuk test. Mitzudos David. Hamas Ivim. Hamimoasim es hamishpat umaakshim es kol davar hayashar. People who detest justice and make crooked everything that is yashar, ki al hayosher liyomu shuhu meukam. Whatever is yosher, they say is crooked. Okay, boynetzion kol echa boynebeisa bitzion bedamim. Everyone has a beautiful palace, an apartment in Tzion. What is Tzion? In Yerushalayim. Bedamim, where did you get the money to buy that apartment? Ki shayfchem dam anoshim, you murdered people. You stole their money, and with the money you got, you stole lokachas oshoy livnos bayis. Next words of the Mitzudos, v'Yerushalayim ba'avla, boinim bate Yerushalayim, repetition, credit repetition, b'mamon shel avla, me'oshek, v'oina, from extortion, and oina is wrongdoing, overcharging, and all different types of illegal conduct. Yud aleph, b'sheichad yishpaitu, al pi ha'sheichad shayftim l'zakos tenoisnes ha'sheichad. The judge will render his halachic decision based upon whoever gives him more money. There's the judge and there's the kohen. They seem over here. They seemingly do the same similar things. How much are you going to pay? If you're only going to pay $10, I have no choice but to tell you that the chicken is not kosher. If you'll pay me $25, I'll tell you that it's kosher b'di'evet. $50, it's kosher. $75, it's muhudur. And $100, it's glat. Okay? And $100, $200, it's beis yosef glat. Okay? That is, you come into court. It's not so funny. Hear what he just said? Okay? It's not so funny. This is what goes on. It all depends on money. I had a mice in the middle of the summer. Okay, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. Now it wasn't only with me. It was with the person that I work with and with one of the newspapers. One of the newspapers is in advertising. And the person I work with, he walked away from the newspaper. He wanted to advertise in the newspaper. And they wanted a fortune of money for a certain type of advertisement. And he walked away from the newspaper in total disbelief because of something that happened. And Mamish comes out of this page, and he really was shaken up at hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of, like, it's echad to the tzibur, you present yourself as being as it's all about the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's all about Torah, it's all about tzidkus, righteousness, and under the hood, it's all about money. It's all about the Ribbono Shel Olam is just a hechatimsa to make money. There's no Ribbono Shel Olam. It doesn't exist. It's just a business. It's nothing. There are no morals. There are no ethics. It's nothing but a hechatimsa for me to make money. To an extreme. Everyone is entitled to a little bit to use Ribbono Shel Olam as a business. You want to use religion as a business? Okay. Not so terrible. I mean, how are you going to survive? But to such an extreme, and then when you're mamash challenged, really, ad kidei kach, and all the information is on the table, and the answer is yes, this is a pure business, and that's right, it's nothing more than a business, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in the picture. It's unbelievable. You think this doesn't go on? It's very, very frightening. What goes on? Whatever goes on. 100%. And what was it for? A few dollars? I mean, come on. It was only a few dollars. It wasn't even so much money. It's not real. Not real. It's a Musa Haskell. You have to learn. I remember once, many, many years ago, my first time I leased a car. First time I leased a car, it was very, very fascinating. So the lease was over. So my brother wanted to buy the car. Okay, my brother, you heard the car? You heard the story? My brother wanted to buy the car. And they made a mistake. The leasing company, they blew it. They didn't press the right buttons on the computer, and it was put on the computer that it's for sale. Before I blinked, the car wasn't Baltimore in the dealership. It was in the dealership, and it was the fault of the leasing company. They were so unethical in not taking responsibility. Then, so I called up the leasing company in Baltimore to the phone company. I said, you have a car here. And it's clearly a mistake how you got the car. Proved to you 100 times over, all the documents, everything, all the forms have been filled out. It's because the secretary didn't push the right button, so somehow the computer went haywire, and everything went into motion. They came and they took the car. But, I mean, look at the situation. So you're right, legally you got it, but, I mean, come on, look at all the paperwork. Look at all the how much paperwork there was in order to get everything going, with how it was a Honda Accord. So the guy says, "Yeah, you're right. You're talking right." But you know something? Doesn't matter. I cannot let this car out of my dealer shop unless I make money on it. There's a guy, a real guy, like the way he said it. Money. It's mine. I got it. It's in my shop. I don't care. Ethics, morals. I was willing to pay also. Willing to pay him also for his time and effort. Willing to give him some, for the schar tircha. He should also make a few dollars because of what happened. But not the full amount. Not the crazy amount he wanted. No. It's money. I cannot. I'm a dealer. It has to be a lot of money before we let the car out of the. It's like, really? It's all about money. It was a guy. It was a guy. But unfortunately. It's frightening. Let's learn over here the Rashi. Rashi, Pasik, we have over here three Pasik, Rashi, Pasik, Rashi, and Pasik, Yud Aleph. There's no Rashi, Yud Beis. What am I reading over here? I'm sorry. I didn't finish the Mitzudos. Let's see where we're up to then. Yushlan Ba'avla. We did Pasik Yud Aleph. The Mitzudos are Pasik Yud Aleph. The Sheikhad Yishpaitu, can they judge with Sheikhad? Al Pia Sheikhad, Sheikhad, Lazaka, Sanais, Sasa Sheikhad, Vahainech, Al Hokan, we did that, Kibimachir. Okay, five lines down, Bimachir, Yoyu, Al Pia Machir, Mariam, Sahara, Kuritan, Maisen, because we say, Al Pia Kessel, Kessel, Vasa, Shona, Maisen. Vel Hashem Yishra, here's Vel Hashem Yishrenu. In Heyoisam, Oisim, Kolamas Malalu, even though they're thoroughly corrupt, yet yo'ezu pineyam. Okay, this is a great words. These are two great words that the Mitzudos David says. Chutzpah. You have the chutzpah to say yo'ezu pineyam lihi sho'in b'Hashem. We rely upon Hashem. Lemar haloi shechinasai bebeis hamigdash. You think that you can be thoroughly corrupt and you have the chutzpah to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to continue to rest amongst us in the Beis HaMikdash, this is something which is unacceptable. There are no Rashis. So let's just do a little Radak quickly. Radak, starting with Pasuk Tes in the previous page, Shimunah Shav L'Hechiach HaRashim V'HaKitzinim K'moy Shenemar L'Mala. He's returning to give most of the leaders. Ya'akeshu, ya'avsu ha'derech ha'yeshara ve'heim ma'avsim oysa. They are twisting it. They're corrupting it. V'chol darcheihem u'masayem chamos v'gezel. All of their ways are corrupt, and they have the chutzpah to say that they are tzaddikim. The avos are called yesharim. Chumish bereishis is called in Chazal sefer Hayoshar. There are many Perushim, Sefer Hayoshar. Why is it called Sefer Hayoshar? Because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their midos, the stories, we learned 2 days ago, the last 2 days, we learned about Medrash Agada, Medrash Halacha. There is no Halacha, very little Halacha in Chumash Bereishis. Only three mitzvahs, Periya Urviya, Gid Hanoshe, and Bris Mila. Those are the only three mitzvahs that appear in Chumash Bereish. That's why there's no Medrash Halacha. Why then did the Torah give us Chumash Bereishis? What's the purpose of the Chumash Bereishis? So Rav Michal is going to answer me because the first Rashi. But the first Rashi is, we wouldn't need a whole Chumash. We could have just started with Maisa Bereishis. We don't need to go through all the details, all the stories of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We could have satisfied Rashi. Hashem created the world. He gave it to who he sees fit in his eyes. And if these people are Rishoyim, he will take it away from them and give it to someone else who he sees that is deserving to have the land of Eretz Yisrael. That could have been satisfied if we take Chumash Bereishis and we're makatsrit into at least a tenth of what we have today. So why was it necessary for Chumash Bereishis to expand upon all of the Maisei Avos? And the answer is to teach us Yashus. Every Maisa in Chumash Bereishis is defining what it means a straight line. The Avos, their Hanhaga, the way they conducted themselves with everyone, with their children, with their own parents, with the people of the world, Avimelech and Paro, with Yosef, everything in Chumash Bereishis is here to teach man what is Yosha. And thus, if you deviate from this, it is Ikesh. You have twisted. Unfortunately, the people living in this time, according to Micha, have taken what is Yoshar and have twisted it and make believe, have the chutzpah to say everything is fine and good. It was not, exactly, but that's the lesson. That's why they suffered. Exactly. We learn what is Yosha by learning what is not Yosha. We learn about the Avla. We learn exactly what they do. We learn the consequences. And there's a lot to study, a lot to learn. But it's everything in the big picture is teaching us Yashus. And here, when these people, when they're guilty, the ace kol hayishara yaakeshu, these are words that are not to be taken lightly. Okay, Pasuk Yud, we'll wait for tomorrow, goes on to describe a lot of details. What? That's the whole discussion. That's the discussion. It is Yashar. Everything in Chumash Bereishis is Yashar.
And he was making the sheets, this guy.